Now it's time for Rain and Shine, KVNF's regional weekly science update, where we explore how our planet works and how we work with the planet. I was standing at my desk looking out into the garden I share with my neighbors, and I saw an American robin come by and pick up an earthworm. This red-breasted feathered friend was followed by four more of their kind that paraded through the winter beds looking for worms, and finding no more, quickly moved on. A traditional sign of spring, the robin stopped by for that little earthworm snack, which had wriggled its way to the surface of the soil. I guess sometimes sayings are literal. The early bird got the worm. Good timing, I thought, because just a few days earlier, my producer, Miss Corey Stanton, had asked me where the earthworms go in the winter. Later, when I broached the topic of earthworms with friends, I got a variety of other questions, like, why do worms swarm on the road, and have you seen those YouTube videos? No, I had not, but I did check, and yes, there are some rather surprising videos of large masses of worms attempting to cross the road during rainstorms. And then there were the friends that just whipped out their phones and showed me videos, like the annual worm calling competition in Britain, and the one where a southeastern American man with a knife strapped around his neck took the viewer out into the woods, cut branches, formed them into worm calling rubbing sticks, and proceeded to stick them in the ground and call worms. Pretty much everyone knows what an earthworm looks like, and I thought I knew about them, but I have to say, these questions of worm swarms and winter worm holes brought me to new research that challenged a lot of what I thought I knew about worms and the larger system that they exist in. Let's start with some of the basics. Earthworms are a land-based invertebrate. They have no vertebrae. They are exothermic, meaning they are cold-blooded, and they belong to the phylum Annelida. They are hermaphroditic, meaning they have both male and female organs. However, unlike conventional wisdom, if a worm is cut into pieces, these pieces will not survive to become new worms. The head of the worm may survive if there is enough body left, but the body parts will die. The bodies of worms are essentially a tube within a tube, and their digestive system stretches the entire length of their body. They are, in fact, incredible digesters, and they can eat pretty much anything that was ever alive, and a bunch of tiny living organisms also. They process huge volumes of organic matter, leaves, food scraps, poop, bodies, you get the point, and they turn it into nice castings, which, laden with carbon zinc, help to build slightly acidic humic soil structures. We can talk about if humus actually exists in another episode. Earthworm tunnels aerate the soil and can help break up very compacted soils that have been walked on, driven on, or built on. And here, in these tunnels, lies the answer to the first question. Where do worms go in the winter? As the ground freezes, the worms living in the topsoil layer burrow deeper into warmer soils, where they build little chambers, wrap themselves up in a special self-made slime, and go to sleep. Unlike hibernating bears, these worms may wake up if the soil warms and come out of their chambers to get some food, and then descend back down again to sleep more if it gets cold. Some bigger worms live like this all year round. Other smaller surface-living worms have annual life cycles. They lay their eggs in protective cases before winter, die with the cold, and then the young are born in the spring. To the second question, it's first important to understand that worms breathe through their skin, and so their skin is incredibly thin, which causes them to lose their body's water very quickly. This brings me to the first big misconception I was under. I had been told that worms come to the surface of the soil when it rains because the water fills up their tunnels, and if they don't come out, they would drown. Turns out, worms can actually breathe in water for up to several days before they drowned. Also, why, if it was just about drowning, would they come up to the surface under very misty conditions without the kind of heavy rain that saturates the ground and makes puddles? Why they come up seems to be for several reasons, some of which we think we know and others of which I am sure we do not. One of these may explain the second question I got about why they swarm on the roads when it rains. Scientists now think that adult earthworms migrate, and when it rains, it's a great time for them to make a move. It's wet, so they can survive, for the most part, and that little bit of water on top of the leaves in the ground makes for much faster movement than burrowing or eating your way through the soil. It may simply be that it appears to a herd of migrating worms to be faster to go over the road instead of under it. I am a huge proponent of animal crossings and underpasses. They would save all our creature friends from the carnage of the automobile. In winter, worms burrow deep, and in the spring they come back up to the topsoil. When it rains, the adults may come out of the soil and herds to migrate. They can come up for other reasons too. Mating is easier, or they may be escaping a burrowing predator like a mole. Worms are moles' most favorite of foods, and they consume them with gusto. That may explain why that gentleman from the South's trick of using a worm-charming stick got them to the surface so fast. It sounds like moles coming. Worms are commonly accepted to be essential to good agriculture, given their presence in soils with high organic matter. Here's where I had to open up my mind a little more and confront my own long-held notions, thinking through something that was a little bit more complex. The common earthworm is, like most of us, not native to North America. They came in with settler ships from Europe. Much of the shared knowledge of white or Western agriculture is based on what people did in Europe and with the soils and ecosystems there. North America did not actually have anything like the European or Asian earthworms, and it turns out that these creatures may not actually do much to build soil organic matter, so much as be an indicator of its presence in soils. In soils with low organic matter, the common earthworm may actually deplete it, releasing carbon dioxide as they do. Let me say that again because this piece of info was new to me and frankly hard to digest in my relatively small stomach. Earthworms eat a lot of organic matter, and if they eat all of it, the soil starts to dry out. Also, for soil systems like those in forests that rely on thick carpets of duff or leaves, earthworms may actually have a detrimental effect as they eat up all that forest carpet, changing the habitat for baby trees, other insects, delicate plants, and the rest of the food chain that relies on them. This is not to say earthworms are bad. They are prodigious composters, and that's a good thing. They can break up very hard in compacted soils, and they create nutrients. These are also good things. Instead, for me, this was a lesson in why understanding the history and complex interdependence of the living systems that sustain us is so important, and why a sense of curiosity and ongoing relationship with nature can be so rewarding. You've been listening to Rain and Shine, produced by KVNF's Corey Stanton, and written and recorded by me, Calla Rose Ostrander. Submit your nature and science questions to rainshine@kvnf.org. And thanks for listening.